Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Boy, I love that intro. That's my favorite intro of all the ones they use, no matter what show I'm hosting. Boy, that talking guns is fine, man. It fits this guy, Devin Burgess, so well. That sounds like your kind of music, Devin.
It is. That's my favorite of any of my radio show intros, too. That's my favorite one out of all of them.
Yes, indeed. Well, Devin, this will be our final Talking Gun show for 2019, but we got a whole 2020 coming up. I'm going to kind of run down some of the things we're going to talk about. Second Amendment sanctuaries, very interesting concept. We're going to chat about that. Also, a lot of people have been asking and waiting for the new Glock G44. Those are now in. There's also some more proposed gun legislation. Where would we be without it? You can count on that. Surely as the sun rises in the east, that there will be new proposed gun control legislation. Also, they're going to have some Glock Shooting Sports Foundation matches that are going to be coming to the Jefferson Indoor Range, which is Devin's regular home field. And we're going to talk about, in our gun product of the month, some quick access gun safes and lock boxes. And also some of those very unique, I was looking at a couple of them at the store the other day, furniture options that conceal firearms. Very, very interesting. At the same time, very practical. So with all that, Devin, we got a busy show, and maybe we'll sneak in some gift ideas, some stocking stuffers for the last-minute shoppers with the firearm enthusiasts on their list. But let's first of all talk about these Second Amendment sanctuaries. What's brought about the rise of these, and what do you know about them?
Well, that's pretty cool. There's a lot of not-so-cool stuff in the news these days, but when I came across this past week, I was proud to be a United States citizen. There's a few counties and states in large that are telling the government at the moment that if they keep pushing new gun laws and new gun legislation, that they wouldn't enforce it. Places like Texas, Nevada, there's a few in Virginia, a lot of the southern states. And the coolest thing is in Culpeper County, Virginia, the sheriff, his name's Scott Jenkins, last week pledged to deputize all of its citizens over the age of 19 in order to protect their right to bear arms, which is pretty cool. So he's saying, if you keep pushing this, banning guns, or if the government does anything to encroach on our Second Amendment, he said, that's fine, but you can't do that to law enforcement. So what we're going to do is we're just going to deputize every citizen, that's an adult over the age, I think he said, of 18 or 19. And then there'll be a police officer, I guess, by law, and you can't take their guns away. That's pretty cool, huh?
I think it is. It kind of smacks of 1776, kind of like the Minutemen appointments, but it could be a way that could successfully, combat all these, encroaching gun legislation pieces. Now, one thing I did hear was as far as the part about sheriff saying that they would not enforce those laws and refuse to enforce them. There's kind of a problem there in that if they cannot supersede a state law, unless the state allows them to do that, they still have to abide by the state law, even though they may feel differently about their county or within their parish. I don't think they're within their right to not enforce laws that are statewide. But the angle that you're talking about, where they're going to deputize a citizen and make them a law enforcement officer, well, that's a whole different situation there, and I don't know what they could do to combat that. Maybe nothing. Maybe that's the answer.
Right. I don't think that they could realistically, I don't see them doing that. But it's cool that you know, even sheriffs in these smaller counties, and other law enforcement officers, some military personnel, you know, have stated publicly that if, you know, if the government keeps pushing this this agenda to destroy the Second Amendment, that they wouldn't, you know, they won't follow it, that they'll break that order and actively discourage others from, you know, encroaching on our Second Amendment, which is pretty cool. So, I mean, realistically, do you think he's going to deputize all of his citizens? Probably not. But just to say it publicly, I think does more more to help, you know, the Second Amendment than anything else, which I think he knows that too. I don't expect him to deputize everybody, everybody in a county or parish, or well, they don't have parishes, but I mean, you know, deputizing everybody is pretty, pretty out of the window, out the box. But it's just cool that he would publicly state that. And the more people that do, they have, you know, a harder time passing all of those laws and getting public support, which is nice. So I thought that was the coolest thing I had read in the last week, that, you know, he just said, yeah, we'll just deputize everybody and then you can't do anything and we win.
There you go. Very, very interesting. Good research on that. Devin, before we get into the Glock business, because they got a new product that's out, they've also got, you know, you're going to be hosting some Shooting Foundation matches there at Jefferson. We can talk about that, too. But I want to talk about this proposed new gun legislation for New York. You know, and this, again, these kind of things always help gun sales. And it looks like Andrew Cuomo is going to challenge ex-President Barack Obama for being the number one gun salesman in the country. What can you find out? What is the latest that they're trying to do as far as in an effort to make people safer, actually take gun owners' rights away?
All right, so this was the strangest thing that I've come across in the last month, and I'd like your view on it because it's I have no idea what's going on in New York. This is very, very strange. So in the past week, the governor of New York proposed what he stated as brand new gun legislation that he hopes to pass in the coming year, 2020. But everything that he's proposed is already enacted at state and federal levels. So he stated some of the new legislation would make it to where state residents who have committed serious misdemeanors wouldn't be able to own a gun in New York. Well, what's a serious misdemeanor? So he said some domestic violence convictions, misdemeanor sex offenses, unlicensed, which is illegal, possession of a firearm, especially in New York, and a few other small things like forcible touching. I guess that's pretty much the same thing as sex offenses, but all of those things already disqualify you from buying a gun. So I have no idea what is going on in New York. I mean, I'm guessing because New York, for the most part, you know, is real liberal and doesn't like firearms, very similar to like Chicago and even New Orleans, you know, the inner city. But I'm not sure why he would publicly state that they're going to change and update what it would take to buy a firearm, because all of those are already disqualifiers for buying a firearm, you know, anywhere in the country. The laws, when you run a background check, you know, when you go into a gun store, you pick the gun, they give you that piece of paper to fill out, that's going to the FBI, and they give us a result after they check your background if you can buy a gun or not. And all of those are already on the form. You know, if you have any felonies or violent offenses, if you have domestic violence, there's specifically a question about domestic violence. So I'm not sure. I'd like to get your input on that. I have no idea why he would. I mean, I guess it's to pander to people that have no idea what he's talking about. And all of those things sound good, but the downside is, They're already laws. They're already restrictive means that would disqualify you from owning a gun anywhere in the country. You know, if you have domestic violence, if you've been convicted of any kind of sex crimes or violent misdemeanors, So I have no idea. I mean, I guess it's just an easy way to give himself a win, but it's easy to win when it's, you know, you're not playing anybody. You're just taking credit for a bunch of stuff that's already in law and would already restrict people from buying guns if they meet any of those criteria. What do you think about that? I have no idea what to think about that.
I can't say. Only thing I can figure is what they call grandstanding. He's trying to win points as a someone who is pushing for more gun control, but really all he's doing is a duplication of an already existing law. I don't see where it would make anyone any safer or prevent anyone who is not eligible from getting a gun now to prevent them from getting one. So I have no idea other than, and, you know, he's a politician, so grandstanding comes under their toolbox. Well, listen, we're going to take a break, Devin. When we come back, I want to mention a Relentless Pursuit. I don't know if you've heard about that. New Orleans is not included in it, but seven major cities are. We'll talk a little bit about that, and then we're going to talk a lot about Glock. Boy, they're doing some wonderful things at that company. We'll be right back. We're talking guns with Devin Burgess. If you want to talk with us, 504-260-6368 is the telephone number, and we take online text right here to the studio at 870-870. It's the Christmas edition of Talking Guns on More Outdoors. And we're talking guns this morning, and we're talking about gun control. You know, another interesting concept, Devin, the Attorney General, William Barr, has announced the launch of what he calls Operation Relentless Pursuit. And what this is, it's an initiative that is going to be combating violent crime in seven of the most violent cities in America, not through gun legislation or taking people's guns away or infringing on Second Amendment rights, but putting a surge of federal resources in those cities. They've been identified as Albuquerque, New Mexico, Baltimore, Cleveland, Detroit, Kansas City, Memphis, and Milwaukee. I only wish New Orleans was on that list, but these seven American cities have violent crime levels at several times the national average, which New Orleans does also, and maybe this eventually will move there. But the way they're going to do this is they're going to put more agents, federal agents, in there. They're going to act with the ATF, DEA, the FBI, U.S. Marshals. They're going to go in there and look for drug traffickers with the cartels and the street gangs. And they're going to use their resources to identify these people, arrest these people, and put them away. And I think that's the key to this whole thing, is getting guns away from the people who should not have them. And, of course, this is, you know, under the Trump administration. He appointed this guy, Bill Barr, and I think this is a very worthwhile effort. They're putting about $71 million into it, but I think it's going to pay off. And hopefully they will be able to expand it into other cities and maybe get here in New Orleans. And, you know, they're going to use new officers. They're going to finance them. They're going to better equip them. They're going to use technology. Every resource at hand that the federal government has, they're going to assist the local city and state police in busting up some of these bad guys. I think this is great.
Yeah, it is great. You remember back in the day, probably in the last 15 years, 10 years, they had stop and frisk.
Right.
In New Orleans, they had a much higher police presence. They enacted stop and frisk, so, you know, anybody at any time could get, you know, police could approach you just to see if you were carrying a firearm. And if you were, and you were carrying one illegally, you know, you would get arrested and you would go to jail, which is the way it should be. You know, I mean, I don't understand. They're not encroaching on anybody's rights. If you don't, they're not supposed to have a gun. The only way we can get the guns away from the bad guys is to find out which bad guys have guns. So that reminds me of what they've done in the past in some Orleans parish, you know, neighborhoods in the city of New Orleans itself. I think it was about 10 years ago. But anyway, crime in that, not crime, I shouldn't say that, firearm violence in those areas that they had a large police presence in and were enacting stop and frisk, the gun violence went down in pretty significant numbers. So, I mean, that's great.
Well, the stop and frisk thing, you know, it's the reason why it was taken away. It's that some people feel it's discriminatory. They don't want to be stopped for no reason and ask if they have a firearm. But in some areas, and I believe it was Rudy Giuliani when he was the mayor of New York, it did tremendous good in reducing gun violent crimes in New York by having stop and frisk. Some places, actually, they have dogs that are gun-sniffing dogs. And all that dog has to do is pass by you, and if you've got a gun in your pocket or in your waistband and that dog hits on it, it's just like a drug-detecting dog. That's probable cause to check you. If you've got a gun and you're a convicted felon, that's a 20-year ticket to jail instantly. No ifs, ands, buts, don't pass go, collect $200 on Monopoly, none of that stuff. It is very effective stop and frisk. The argument against it is, though, it's discriminatory, and it places people who should not be subjected to that to being subjected. But, you know, and you talk to a lot of gun owners that are concealed carry and in some open carry, and I don't know very many who resent that. You know, if someone wants to see my weapon and see if I'm carrying a gun and they're a law enforcement officer, I'll be glad to show them my card and show them the weapon, you know. Knowing that they're there getting them out of the hands of people who shouldn't have them.
Absolutely. I mean, anybody that, you know, that wants gun crime to stop, which I think is everybody, including, like you said, pretty much every gun owner that's owning firearms responsibly. I don't know anybody that opposes that. And then it wouldn't necessarily, in the way I'm looking at it, be discriminatory if, like you said, if they, you know, if they enacted dogs to help them with stop and frisk, you know, if they patrol the streets, which they're doing anyway, usually in a car, so they'd have to get out of their car. But I mean, the only difference would be you'd see a lot more police, and if you saw police officers that had, you know, a canine unit with dogs, there'd be less of them. But that would be a way to minimize what some people would think is discriminatory, you know, targeting by police officers. But look, if the dog hits on you and, you know, they ask you to, if you have a firearm on you, and you do and you're not supposed to, you should, minimum jail sentences should be, you know, should be given out. Nobody's going to stop carrying firearms if they go to jail for 2 or 3 days and then you let them back out. Not the way that works. If they go to jail for 10 years or 20 years and they know that if they get caught, they're going to go to jail for 10 or 20 years, most of those guys aren't going to, you know, risk carrying a gun just to carry a gun when they're not supposed to. So that's form of.
It's definitely a deterrent. And, you know, I've trained and raised a lot of dogs who make their living with their nose by smelling out birds and rabbits. And I got to tell you, dogs are equal opportunity sniffers. They're not discriminatory. If they hit on you, it's because of a gun, not for any other. Or either that or you got a pork chop in your pocket, which you shouldn't have either. Anyway, that would be something that would be effective. But I'm waiting to see the results of this Operation Relentless Pursuit, how it pays off in those cities, and hopefully it can be expanded to other cities, and which would be a benefit to us if it would be implemented in the city of New Orleans. Well, Devin, let's start talking about Glock. First of all, this new gun product, the G44, I know a lot of people have been asking for that. They're now available. When will they be actually in the stores, and particularly with more of a reference in the Jefferson Gun Outlet?
Right. This was a, for anybody that's unaware, this was a big deal. This was a very big deal. So for the past 3 weeks, I guess, or a month, and Glock's so cool that they do it this way. So let me back up. So there's a SHOT Show, the SHOT Show in Las Vegas that's coming up this coming month in January, next month. Usually Glock, once a year, will do their own pre-SHOT Show release of a new firearm. Last year was the 43X and the 48. The year before that, it was some of the MOS models in the 43. But they do it at a time where they let everybody know what the new gun is, you know, to get everybody excited about just their gun, because they're not competing with, you know, 500 other manufacturers at the SHOT Show to release something. Their marketing department at Glock is pretty incredible. But anyway, so the new gun that they've been announcing, the new item that they're manufacturing is, like you said, the Glock 44. So it's a compact 22 caliber, predominantly polymer firearm in 22 long rifle. It has a threaded barrel, so you can put a suppressor on it. It obviously looks like a Glock, but it's much lighter. So instead of having a steel slide, it's a polymer frame and a semi-polymer slide with aluminum and steel, aluminum rails and a steel barrel and aluminum and polymer guide rod. So it's super light, made by Glock, so it's going to function. Pretty inexpensive, I believe. When they show up, hopefully in the next week or two, it'll probably be after Christmas, unfortunately. But they're going to be under $400, probably closer to $350. And then all of your other aftermarket parts, like upgraded night sights, holsters, you know, holster compatibility, magwells, slide stops, all that stuff that you use on your other Glocks are also going to be compatible with the Glock 44. So if you have some night sights that you want to take off another gun that you don't use, you know, you'd be able to put them on your 44. I believe they're going to fit, the firearm would fit in any Glock 19 holster or Glock 23 holster, which is their most popular model. It's the compact variant. So if you have holsters for other Glocks, more than likely this one will fit in those holsters. And it's pretty cool. They've never made a Glock in 22 long rifle that's dedicated to 22 long rifle. And they released it last week, and it's been – the firearm community is ablaze. Everybody wants it. But hopefully – you know, hopefully we'll have them in the store, probably not before Christmas, but probably in the next 2 weeks or so, if I had to guess.
I just wish they would have made it in a 22 mag. You know, that is so much more powerful than any of the other 22, the long or the long rifles, you know. But
oh, yeah,
can't have
you
everything.
Need those. I love that 22 Magnum. See, the only problem with 22 Magnum is there's a few handgun manufacturers or firearm manufacturers that make semi-auto 22 magnums, and if you put them in a tubular magazine, you know, like a rifle or a lever action or something, they work very well. But once you stack those 22 magnums in a magazine, because they for people that are unfamiliar or listeners that are unfamiliar, they're like they look like a real small 38 special or a real small 357. If you're familiar with the way the caliber looks, there's a lip on the a rim on the very back of the bullet. And because they each have a rim on the back, when you stack them one on top of the other, that rim will catch against the other rims, and they don't feed real as reliably as some of the smaller 22 long rifle calibers. But I mean, I'm sure they will. I'm sure they'll make a 22 mag. You might have to wait a year or 10, but you know, mm-hmm. I'm sure they will. But I agree.
Well, I have a little 22 mag that's it's a five shot Derringer that's made by Charter Arms. And I tell you what, those 22 mags pack a wallop, but they work well in a revolver and, like you said, in a tube and a rifle, but, you know, got to work on it to get the handguns right. Well, Devin, we got a break to take in. We come back, I want to talk about what's going to be coming to the Shooters Club over there as far as Glock's new shooting events. We'll talk about that. Also about some of those new products, and we got a gun product of the month you're going to be wanting to hear about. That's all coming up right here in the next few minutes on Talking Guns. Don Dubuque, Devin Burgess, and you are listening to us on WWL 105.3 FM HD2 Radio. And welcome back in, and Devin over there at the Jefferson Indoor Range, there are going to be some new shooting events coming up. Tell us about it.
We are. We're going to have quite a few. My buddy just, not to jump out here, but my buddy just texted me. It's funny, we've been talking about dogs all show. What do you have? You hunt with dogs, huh? He wanted me to ask you a question.
Yes, I do.
So if somebody wanted to choose a breed for duck hunting and train the dogs, do you know anything about that? Where did you get your dogs from, and did you train them yourself?
I have trained all of my dogs myself. I've had everything from Labrador Retrievers, which is the number one duck dog, to Brittany Spaniels, to Pointers, to German Shorthair Pointers. I've had Rabbit Beagles. There are a lot of professional trainers, and a lot of people will get them started, and then it's up to the owner to pick it up from there, because, you know, the dog needs to work with the owner. In fact, some trainers will invite the owner to come out to the training sessions so the dog gets used to, and actually you have to train the owner in some instances on what the do's and don'ts are of dog training. But if it's a duck dog you're looking for, my German Shorthairs can double, but they don't do quite as well in the water as swimming. It's tough to beat a lab or a golden retriever for a duck dog, but there's some of the other breeds that retrieve real well and they swim okay. But the lab has just got that heavy, thick coat. They're water resistant. You know, the water runs right off of them when they shake, and they've got the drive and the strength to make those long, hard retrieves that are out in some, you know, gumbo mud and some high reeds and things like that. But if that person is interested in getting one, I can put him in touch with some really good breeders that I know who also double as trainers, and he'll be set.
There you go, Scott. Big Don's going to help you out. All right, so anyway, back to what you asked about. We're doing a bunch of shooting competitions at Shooters Club. They host a Glock match once a year for people that are unfamiliar with it. Glock, and they're one of the few to do this, which is really nice on Glock's part. They send a representative from Glock. It's usually our state representative. And they do what's called the GSSF. It's Glock Shooting Sports Foundation. The only requirements are that you shoot a Glock, not that you own a Glock, just that you shoot a Glock. So we open up all of our rentals, our gun rentals, to any of the competitors. There's no charge to rent one of the guns if you want to shoot in the matches. All you have to do is sign up for the GSSF. It's like $30 a year. And we host once a year at Shooters Club and twice a year now at Jefferson Gun Outlet. And it's going to be the last weekend in January is when we're doing the next one, so in about a month. And again, if you've never shot any kind of competition before, it's very laid back. All the people that come are very, very nice and helpful. And you don't have to be the best shot to win the biggest prize, which is a handgun. There's a bunch of other perks. Anybody that signs up for GSSF, it pays off quickly and abundantly. It's about $30, like I said, to sign up for GSSF. And then at the end of the year, when they send you your new packet, an application for your new GSSF membership card, they also send you it's called a blue label discount coupon. So it allows the competitor, as long as they stay a member, like I said, about $30 a year, to buy one Glock a year at the blue label law enforcement pricing. So you spend $30, and if you're interested in getting a new Glock, even if you don't want to shoot, just signing up to be a GSSF member would help, because at the end of that year, you get a Glock for usually about 20% to 30% off of our normal retail prices. So if you wanted a new Glock 19, they're normally $599. The blue label price on Glock 19s are between $430 and $460. So, you know, $100 and $100 and a half, you know, you'll save. So, and it's really fun. I mean, we do it 3 months out of, well, 6 months out of the year now, but each match is 3 days, and there's one shooting match per month in a 3 month period. So we'll do it at the end of January, the end of March, and the end of April. I'm sorry, the end of January, the end of February, and the end of March. And if you do two out of the three, if you shoot two out of the three competitions, you qualify for all the prizing. And then we do a raffle at the end, and Glock gives away a handgun of your choice. And it's fun. You know, it's a good community get-together. All the people that do it are super nice. It's kind of like joining the club that everybody wants you to join. You know, it's a good thing to do. It's really fun. And we do – now we're doing two a year. There's 6 months out of the year. About half the year, once a month, we're going to be doing one of these matches. To learn more, you can go to Glock.com or Glock.com/GSSF, and it'll go over all the regulations in what you can shoot. There's a bunch of different categories, so you can shoot an A class, B class, or C class, depending on your skill level. Anybody that shoots two out of those 3 months gets a walks away with something, and it's usually a pretty good something. You know, you get Glock knives. They give away Glock shirts and sweaters. Last year, they gave away all sorts of cool stuff: the Glock poker sets, Yeti coolers, you know, with Glock on them, Glock coffee mugs, and then, you know, obviously the big prize is the gun. But it's about $30. It's a good investment if you're going to buy a Glock, because even after you pay the $30, it's still going to save you over $100 if you want to purchase a Glock. And again, you get one a year. So we're excited about that.
Yeah, Glock hopefully is really stepping up. They're stepping up to be one of the leading firearms dealers in the nation, no doubt about it. A while back, you mentioned SHOT Show, Shooting, Hunting, Outdoor Trade Show. I guess it's still in Vegas. Are you going this year?
I am. Unfortunately, I'm going. Yep.
Unfortunately. Come on. You're like a kid in a candy store there. You need a break away from the shop, too.
I was a kid in the candy store. But after 8 or 9 years, I'd rather
Candy gets old.
That's right. Candy gets old. Starts to rot your teeth. Same thing. I don't like the fly. But it is. It's pretty cool. We get a bunch of good, interesting stuff that's new, you know, hot off the assembly line. And you get to see everything that's being made. Most people, Glock's one of the few that doesn't. That's when everybody else releases all of the new items for the next year. You know, all the big manufacturers are there, Kimber, Glock, Smith & Wesson, everybody goes. It's massive. If you're listening and you've never been and you're really into, you know, just shooting sports, it's worth it to go at least once. I wouldn't recommend going once a year.
A lot of people have probably forgotten the faux pas New Orleans committed, you know, under one of the previous mayors, Marc Morial. He basically ran them out of town, and they loved coming to New Orleans, holding it at the convention center. They loved the city. They loved the food. They loved the music. They got to go duck hunting sometimes when they were here and fishing, and he basically wore out their welcome and kind of told them they were not welcome, and they said, well, fine, we'll never come back. Never's a long time, and they're living up to it so far. They haven't been back since, and I don't see in the near future or even distant future any plans for them to come back. But you're talking about an event that would dump a ton of money into the local economy for a very good purpose. But you can thank ex-mayor Marc Morial for that little debacle. All right, we got a break to take. We come back, and one of the places that Devin gets a lot of these gun product informational reports is from the SHOT Show, and we got one coming up for you right after this timeout. It's our gun product of the month, and you're listening to it on the Christmas edition of Talking Guns. Don Dubuque and Devin Burgess on WWL 105.3 FM HD2 Radio. Another great job by Devin Burgess on that interview. By the way, Devin, do you know a guy named Ziphead?
Man, that's a name. I don't think so. Is that his Christian name? Ziphead?
I don't know. Maybe he'll give us a little further explanation, but he's wishing us both a Merry Christmas to Don and Devin
Ziphead. Thank you.
Merry Christmas to you, Ziphead. All right. You know, when I was in the store the other day, I noticed one of those firearm concealing furniture items. I don't know what the classifier call them, the one that was the shelf. Very interesting. And you got kind of an array of those. Tell us what people can get, because I think that serves a couple of purposes. One, it conceals the firearm from an intruder should you need quick, easy access to it. But two, it might keep visitors calm if they don't see a firearm in plain view in your home.
Right. These are so cool. Ziphead, you need to get one of these. This is what Ziphead needs. I'm going to sell you one. So these are, they're cool. We sell guns, obviously, but this is one of the coolest things that we started carrying in the store, in my opinion. It's straight out of a James Bond film. It's furniture that's made in the U.S. There's quite a few different manufacturers that make them. I think even GunSafe makes a few of them, but it's furniture that looks like regular furniture, but with the push of a button or careful placement of a magnet, it pops open and presents your firearm to you in a way that wouldn't, you know, it's quick and convenient, but no one would know unless you told them that this beautiful piece of furniture is holding an arsenal of firearms. They make coffee tables and nightstands, bookshelves and shelving units, you know, that you would put picture frames on. That's the most popular one we sell. They're about $130. They're not super expensive. They're very well made. They're made here in the United States. And the most popular one is this little magnet pop open action. It's a little hydraulic that's in it. And when you place a magnet over the top of it, the bottom, with the help of a hydraulic, comes down quickly and presents whatever firearm you stick in it. They make a bunch of different sizes and lengths. You can put an AR in there, a shotgun in there. The smaller ones, you can hold multiple handguns, magazines. Super cool. And yeah, they make bed frames and headboards and shelves and coffee tables and end tables. I think they make a dining room table. They make just a ton of really beautiful furniture. Most of it, or pretty much all of it, is wood, sanded wood. It's real pretty. We're moving soon, and I'm going to fill that house with as much James Bond-type furniture as I can. I'll have
You could use it as a showroom. I'm sure you...
Right.
You'll be able to use your home as a showroom for concealing firearms. Hey, for your friend Scott, I just had a text that said, don't forget the Boykin Spaniel is the most utilitarian dog, spectacular retrieval units. He's correct. The Boykin Spaniel's a great dog. I kind of compare it to the Big Green Egg. It's kind of a cult of the owners of those dogs. They're a very, very special breed with some special owners. Well, Devin, Merry Christmas to you and all the folks, Mike and the gang over at Jefferson Gun. Tell them how to get there if they're going to do some Christmas shopping.
I will. 6719 Airline Drive. It's right by David Drive near the old, what's still a skate center. There's a range behind it. We're both open 7 days a week. We'll be closed Christmas Day and probably closing a little early on Christmas Eve. And then the Shooters Club, if you want to get your permit, go see CC or myself over there at the Shooters Club every Saturday. Starts at about 10:30. If you're a first time, it starts at doors open about 9:30. If you're a renewal, they're at 2338 Hickory. They're open every day but Monday.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.